Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yabbar, and joining me on the sofa today is the walking encyclopedia on where to access funding and training for your organisation and its people, the ever so knowledgeable Mr. Gary Parker. I really appreciate you taking time out of your really, really busy schedule to join me on the sofa, Gary, and to share your expertise with us. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Lily, and thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming. Listen, so before we really dig into Gary's background, let's hear a little bit about the brand name to Gary. Gary is the Managing Director of C&T Associates, where he personally brings over 15 years' experience of consultancy, training and management development services. He has hands-on experience across multiple industries, including local government, public services, and the private sectors. Gary believes his company's success is underpinned by three key themes. The first is that they view themselves as advisors rather than consultants. The second is the social conscience approach to their service offerings. And the third is their unwavering commitment to providing high-quality services for their clients. With responsibilities for the day-to-day management of the company, Gary offers client support with his specialist knowledge in fundraising and management. And as if all of the above wasn't enough to fill his CV, he's been a visiting lecturer at the University of Central Lancashire with a focus on regeneration for their health and ethnicity unit.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks, Gary. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. Wow, so Gary, all the stuff mentioned above in my introduction doesn't happen in a vacuum, so that's for sure. So how could you tell us about your background and how you got to where you are now?
I'm from the northwest of England. I'm from Preston in Lancashire, which is a city. It's probably about the size of, or just slightly smaller in population terms, as Greenwich, where I live now. It's about 150,000-160,000 people. And I'm from quite a large family, really. I've got three sisters and a brother, and the extended family is very large. When my father passed away in 2009, 400 people turned up at his funeral.
Wow.
There were other reasons for that, but probably 200 of them were our family members. And I met some people who I hadn't met for years and years.
Yeah.
My background is not a conventional one in terms of business, I would say. My family history, both my parents left school when they were 15. I mean, my father was a very intelligent man. He was brought up in the 1930s. My grandmother was a lone parent.
Okay.
I mean, not unusual these days, but I mean, then it was, and you didn't get any benefits.
Mm.
So what that effectively meant was that his brother was working from the age of about 10, and he was working from 12 years old. You know, he left school very early then. So we always had a very strong work ethic in my family. But
yes.
I didn't really want to get into business as such.
Okay.
It was a
kind. Why not?
Well, I was more interested in other things. I mean, when I was young, what I really wanted to do, and indeed still do it, was to be a musician.
Okay, I can see that there.
Yes, yeah. And I was quite lucky, really, in that I managed to pursue that, really, on a full-time basis till I was about 27.
Okay.
So I had various other jobs.
And what instrument is that?
That's a guitar.
What sort of guitar?
It's an acoustic guitar.
I do ask this question.
Yeah, that's all right. The band I play in is called Blue Horizon.
Wow.
And the website address is CNT Communications, Charlie Knows Tango, CNT Communications.co.uk.
Okay.
And our new CD has just been released.
Yay. Okay.
It's on Facebook and on LinkedIn.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the CD? What's the title?
It's called Rainbows.
Rainbows.
It's available on iTunes.
Good.
One of the interesting things about the process of releasing it is we found an American music collective called CD Baby, which you pay $40 to register with them, because I would recommend this to your readers, and then you can have your music released on every major format like iTunes, Spotify, etc., etc. They handle all of that as long as you follow their process, which does take some time to upload the music and sign up with them and pay your money, of course. They handle the rest. It's amazing how technology has transformed that particular industry, you know, never mind other industries, in the past few years. So that's what I was really interested in when I was younger. And I went to Sheffield University, and some of the people that I knew there became and worked with became quite well known. I won't go into the details of this because we could talk about this all morning. But
yeah.
I eventually moved to London to pursue my musical career. But then I met my wife, and then within 2 years we had a child, so I had to provide for my family.
Yes.
So then I was still playing, but I got a job as a civil servant, which I worked in for a number of years, and had various other jobs, including working for a very large consultancy firm, which was bought out by another organisation. So that and the clients I had with that organisation, they didn't want. So I was very fortunate in the fact that my line manager said to me, "Oh, well, you can have these clients." I thought, "Well, thank you very much, because I've got a business here." So I left that organisation, and then we also started up a training arm at the same time, which was very, very successful in a fairly short period of time. This is about 10 years ago. And we had a number of companies. We employed about 40 to 50 people. But that's a very potted history about my route into business.
Wow, yes, you know, the frustrated musician becomes a businessman.
Yeah. But I did learn, funny enough, I've never had any formal business training, even though I've run my own businesses for about 15 years. But what I did learn as a musician is to live off your wits, because you're always up and down. You know, you can be flying high one minute, the next you're on the floor again.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to make headway. And there's all sorts of issues that can arise, problems you have to solve. So that was very, very good training for business, I would say.
Surely, even though you say you haven't had any business training, the training you've had is by doing.
Oh, yes. I've learned from experience.
Yes.
Having said that, I think if I'd have had some more formal business training, I could have avoided some of the pitfalls.
Yes,
that I have, because, you know, one of the things that CNT does is business support. But the advantage of that is that I've made every mistake in the book, you know.
Yes.
So I know the ones to avoid. If you knew what to avoid, I would say, and remember, I think it's 50% of all businesses fail, new businesses fail within the first year.
Yes.
And I think 30% within 3 years. So, you know, it's if you know what pitfalls there are out there, then, you know, that's probably good knowledge. But on the other hand, if you knew so many of them, it might stop you from starting in the first place.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So it's very much, there's no blueprint for developing a successful business. And you have to accept that there's going to be, if you want to do it, it'll be stressful, and you'll be dealing with continual issues that you have to address.
Yes, they just come at you from nowhere. You'll be getting on with your business, and then there'll be this problem, and you have to stop and solve it before you carry on. Thank you for that, Gary. So we touched on the fact that you wanted to be a musician, and but then is this what you would have wanted to if you were sitting in front of your career's office as a 16-year-old boy? Would you have said to them you wanted to be a musician?
Probably not, actually, because the careers officer we had at school, I didn't care that much for him, and he wasn't remotely interested in me.
What a surprise. Everybody tells me that.
And it was just, it does worry me now because they've devolved this system back to schools after taking it out and giving it to other organisations. A lot of the careers advice has now gone back into the schools. Now, of course, I'm sure there's some very, very good careers staff and support staff out there. But, you know, it then kind of individualises it into, you know, what that particular school is prepared to invest or spend on that aspect.
Yes.
But when I was 16, I can't even remember. What I do remember is I was very bad at woodwork and metalwork. I went to a big comprehensive and a lot of people were really into that. Well, I wasn't. I just said I wanted to go to college, you know, which is what I did. And they liked that because then they didn't have to go any further. You know, they didn't ask me where I wanted to go, etc. And I did end up going to university in Sheffield, which was a very interesting experience.
Okay, that's great. So, Gary, you've trained over 4,000 people. This is, you know, part of your resume that I've been fishing around to find. You've raised over 3 million in funding.
No, 30 million.
30, I beg your pardon, listeners. 30 million in funding, Lily, speak properly. Gary has raised 30 million in funding, undertaken over 500 consultancy assignments, worked with 400 businesses and 1,000 community and civil sector organisations. What has been your most challenging gig and what has been your most rewarding amongst all of the above?
That is a good question. I mean, when our training arm was bigger, we used to do a lot of work around retail skills to get people into work. I mean, that was a lot easier then. This we're talking about 10 years ago than it is now. But it was still always quite difficult. Although, once people had got our retail skills qualification and got some experience, it then became a much easier pathway into employment.
Yes.
But it was always a challenge, particularly working with people who had, you know, health or disability or other issues, you know, people returning to work from career breaks or whatever, childcare. Really, a lot of them were around confidence building for people. We've got particular experience of helping women returners back into work because often you find this, it's the skills issue. It's not that women return to the labour market can't work. It's the skills issue. Sometimes they feel the skills are out of date. If we can update them on that, but it's really underlying that is confidence. It's a confidence issue. If you can support people and improve the confidence of self and esteem, I think that's generally true across the board, then you can help anyone really, because there's a lot of talent out there that is underutilized, particularly now with our young people. Now that's a big issue. You know, too many of them are unemployed. And shouldn't be. You know, and it's a very challenging environment, and I know having two sons, how challenging that environment is for them. And then unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get any easier.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for that, Gary. This is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with Gary Parker, Director of C&T Associates, the walking encyclopedia on where to source the best funding and training for the growth of your organisation. So C&T Associates specifically, let's talk about what you do with them. And I know that you do, you have training, fundraising and consultancy, as well as working with women in business. So can we talk firstly about the training arm of your business and what you do with them?
Yeah, we do a number of things different, but what we've focused on now is really one day courses.
Okay.
You know, the in a whole range of areas. We've got 74, but the main ones are around management development, you know, things like introduction to first line management.
Okay.
And then quite a lot around fundraising, you know, funding for volunteer projects, for health projects.
Right.
How to set up a social enterprise, which is a big area of development for us. I've set up probably about 50 social enterprises. And there's the funding workshops, which are always very, very popular, and how to write bids.
Okay, so there's the fundraising and consultancy side of it.
Yes, that's right. On the fundraising side as well, we also write funding applications. As I said, we've probably raised actually between 30 and 50 million because some of it is contractual funding, and obviously if people deliver and or over deliver in some cases on the contract that they've got, then really our work has been worth even more than that. But you know, people don't always tell us, they're not obliged to, some do, some don't. So I suspect it's probably a lot more than the 30 million estimates that we've given.
Wow, that's amazing. And what about the third bit, which is mainly women in business?
Yeah, we operated a network with Greenwich University. One of the great things about London is it is such a diverse place, and that is here to stay, and people need to get used to it. I mean, you know, then you have the whole issue of who is a migrant. You know, I work with people who've lived in London for like 30 years. Well, I came from the Northwest. I've only lived here for 20 years.
So you're a migrant.
So I'm a migrant in that sense. I think it is, you know, I think it's a rather false debate that, because we're part of the European Union and you can move anywhere. There's a lot of British people in Spain. I know I go over there a lot. There's a massive British population.
Yes.
I think really all those issues, you know, the recession and the degree of inequality there is in society these days has fed that debate.
So thanks, Gary. What would you say is the profile of your typical client?
Well, we have a very diverse client group. We work with, I suppose the main clients are people who manage or run small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work with a lot of community organisations and social enterprises. You know, but they take different forms. And we also work with a lot of agencies that work with those groups as well, whether it's local authorities, whether it's enterprise agencies or agencies that will provide services for community organisations like councils for voluntary service and volunteer centres, or organisations that support social enterprises as well.
Okay.
So those are the main ones, I would say.
Right, thank you. And I can see your organisation is a member of Prowess, which is an organisation which supports women in business, and you alluded to the fact that you do quite a lot of work with women in business. Apparently there's a really high rise in business startups for women over 50. What do you think is driving that trend?
I think there are a number of things. I mean, I think generally the numbers of people over 50, men and women, developing startup businesses is increasing for a number of reasons. I mean, I think redundancy is one of them. You know, there's been a lot of redundancies in the public sector and other areas. People can't get the value out of their savings or investments that they used to. So some people are saying, well, I might as well invest in myself, which depends on what your skills are as well, I would say, and what you've done previously, you know, but that's not always the case.
Also, I think people over 50, they might have the appetite towards risk might be different from someone who's 30 or 35.
Yes, I think that's correct. I mean, a lot of people in the 30s and 40s might have children, you know, particularly in the 30s or 20s even, they might have younger children. That is always a big difficulty, because obviously you have to devote some time to your children. I know when I was younger and had my business on the go, and even in my musical career, that was very, very challenging, because you have to pay a lot of money for childcare. If you're not caring for them yourself, somebody has to. And you have to get the right people to do it. And then generally the best people are the ones you have to pay the most.
Exactly.
So, you know, and then you have some life experience, you know, I suspect everybody by the age of 50, unless you're very fortunate indeed, has had some setbacks in the life, whatever it is. You'll certainly have setbacks and roadblocks and challenges in business. So that kind of experience will help you, I think, if you're in your 20s. Obviously, you've got less life experience, but you know there are plenty of people in the 20s as well that set up businesses. So I'd say it's a good option for younger people as well.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Can I read one testimonial from prospects?
Sure.
Which was written by Mike Bowles.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I thought I'd surprise you with that. Mike says, I write in positive support of CNT Associates who have successfully assisted prospects in the delivery of a variety of ESF-funded projects. The remit was fully met by CNT being asked to write it as they saw it, from an entirely objective perspective. Also that year, they provided one-day motivation courses for beneficiaries of Bromley, of Greenwich and Bromley ESF project called Women to Work. So actually, that means your work with women dates back a long, long time.
Oh, yes, but I have to give a lot of credit of that to my colleagues, particularly my colleague Caroline Skelly, who's not here today.
I see her around a lot doing stuff with women.
Yes, she's very good.
Mm. Okay, so like photography, you develop from the negatives. I saw this on your Facebook header, by the way, Gary. It's got to have come from somewhere. Tell us more.
Well, I think what that's all about, really, is like I said earlier, there's always challenges in life, there's setbacks. You know, if you can learn to address those, to deal with them, then something very positive can come out of that situation.
Mm, mm.
If you want it to, as long as I've got a viable business strategy, I will continue.
Okay. Do you think that kind of independence comes from your music background and the feeling of being free to do? You know, music certainly does. I believe it frees your mind at times when you don't have anything else.
Yes, I think so as well, and also from my family background, a lot of it, I think why I'm quite good at working with women-led businesses, I've got three sisters who are very, very independent.
Okay. So, Gary, what other activities are you involved in?
Well, I've got several business interests. CNT Associates is not the only one. The other thing I haven't mentioned is that I'm a counsellor as well.
Okay.
I'm a councillor in the London Borough of Greenwich and have been for a number of years, although with my other activities I kind of take a back seat on that side. I'm not a member of the council's executive or anything, but I try not to mix business and politics because I don't think it's a very healthy mix. This is one of the few times I've disclosed this because you've asked me what else I'm involved in. I'm also involved as a distributor of a number of nutritional products. Including Herbalife products. I'm very interested in the well-being industry. It is a growth industry and I'm working with a whole number of organizations, both profit making and non-profit making, in that area, because, you know, another tip to people, I think you don't want to be in a sunset industry like coal mining or something like that.
Yeah.
You want to be in a sunrise industry, you know, where there's opportunity for growth, and well-being is definitely one of them, you know, for both positive and sadly negative reasons as well. So I'm involved in that. I've already mentioned about my musical activities. I've got a number of friends. I've got a friend who I collaborate with in the band. He has got his own musical career. I'd recommend his website, GaryHallMusic.com. And he's on tour most of the year these days, but he's also a producer as well. And he's a lucky man because he's earned a living out of music for a long, long time.
So it's Gary
Hall.
Hall. H-A-L-L.
Yes, yeah. And his website is GaryHallMusic.com.
Okay.
I'm involved in a lot of community activity. I'm the chair of two social enterprises.
Okay.
You're
a very busy man.
Yes, I'm very busy, but I think I need to be.
Yes,
I think everybody needs to be.
The idea is to have a portfolio of, you know, which involves a lot of different things, because things are moving so quickly these days. You can't just say, I'm just doing this and sticking to this, hoping that...
In a way, I wish I could, because, you know, it's like being a counsellor. You can get into a certain mindset on that. It's quite a stressful lifestyle as well. And I think I bring something to it in that I have an outside perspective. I'm not a, full time in politics or whatever. It's kind of a part time interest. And, I think, well, we've seen this nationally, that too many politicians from all parties come from certain backgrounds and they kind of disconnect with people. I could, I don't think that's one of the things that I am. I don't think I'm disconnected with people.
So can we ask you if you know what the cost of what pint of milk costs?
Yes, I certainly can
Oh,
actually.
go on then.
4 liters is 95p, but it depends where you buy it from. Some places are cheaper.
I don't know. I just go to the supermarket
I
and
can tell you
just
what the
take
price of a
it.
loaf of bread is as well, actually,
Go on then.
especially my favourite one, which is a certain brand of wholemeal bread, which is £1.35 a loaf.
Okay.
So yeah, I do go to the supermarket.
You do it yourself. Well done, well done. I like that. So what other projects are you currently working on?
I'm working on a range of new training courses. I'm quite interested in electronic publishing. I'm
What does that mean?
well producing ebooks and
Okay.
applications around electronic publishing. For example, with Amazon, they have a format where you can publish a book and you get a very high royalty rate. I think it's about 30% royalties, which is a lot higher than with any publishing company. And also you can put that book in their library. Somebody that I know who is a transport expert, which is a very, it doesn't float my boat, so I have to say this, but is a very knowledgeable person in that area. Has been writing books for 30 years, and he as about 2 years ago, some of them were released as ebooks, and they're selling even now. He makes a significant amount of income just off his old books, which he never
Okay.
thought he would do, because once people pick up his newer books,
Yeah.
then they buy the old ones. Not everybody buys them, but he's still publishing books. I think I'll plug him actually. His name's Christian Walmar, who's one of the candidates for Mayor of London, incidentally. And
Oh.
he's written a book in the past year about the Trans-Siberian Express, which is a very good book. If you go on christianwalmar.com, you will see all his books. And
And how do you spell that, Walmart?
Wolmar,
Okay, Christian Walmart.
Christian Walmar, who's probably Britain's leading transport history journalist. Again, it's a very niche field, this, so don't ask me to explain it.
History journalist.
Yeah,
Okay,
transport history.
transport history
History journalist,
journalist. Okay. So those are the training courses.
New training courses that we have on the go. We're looking to do some new ones on some niche funding ones. One will be around new forms of fundraising, things like crowdfunding,
Okay.
social investment, and various other things. And then there will be one specifically about social investment, which is basically payment by results funding
Okay.
programs. And
Yeah, that's coming up. Well, you're seeing more and more of that.
oh, very much so. That's the flavour of the month. Some new courses on European funding. And we're also developing. I've just produced a an online training course for an organisation called Ixion, which is one of Britain's biggest social enterprises, called Grow Your Enterprise, which is an online training course for existing businesses, usually ones that have been in existence for about 6 months.
Okay.
And
Well, Gary, personally, I know that I know what I'm doing for 2015, and even though it may look very easy, my goal is to complete just two projects that I started this year for 2015. Sometimes finishing a project is often more of a challenge than starting it. So what will Gary Parker be doing in 2015 and why?
What will I be doing? I'll be consolidating the work that we've done in 2014 and looking for opportunities to develop and spin off what we're doing. I'm very keen on working in partnership with other organizations. And
Yes.
again, that's something I would recommend to people, particularly if you're in a smaller organization, because it's surprising, even in the community sector where it's fairly widespread, there's still a lot of people who don't want to work in partnership with others. Well, 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing, as the saying
Absolutely.
goes. So,
Yeah.
and I think partnership work develops new skills and will bring you new contacts. So I would recommend that, and we will be doing more of that in 2015.
Partnerships. I know a lady once who said, have lunch or be lunch.
Interesting saying.
Yeah, so it's good to have partnerships with people. Now, there's a second testimonial, Gary, another thing that something Andrew Stevens from the Japan Local Government Centre. A while back, I'm acquainted with the work of C&T Associates through its principal director, Gary Parker, as he and his colleagues have supported events organised through the Japan Local Government Centre. Gary also hosted a networking event for Japanese local government officials in Greenwich in partnership with the JLCGC and briefed a first secretary of the Embassy of Japan on business and political issues, which were used to develop policy and research services. Gary undertook this work in a culturally sensitive and professional manner. Oh my word, Mr. Gary Parker.
Shall I tell you how that came about, actually?
Please do, please do.
Because what happened is we ended up going to a very upmarket Japanese restaurant in Green Park, and the lunch was about 15 courses. The first secretary had a diet meal, which was 10 courses, and
Listeners, I wish you can see my face. 15 courses.
15 courses, yes. I couldn't eat it all, but it was very interesting. And then we organized this event as a result of this meeting. These people turned up in Greenwich, and I'd say there was about 50 of them. Everybody, this was several years ago, but everybody had cameras, and other people had, camcorders and video recorders, and I've never been filmed so much in my life. Didn't even know about this, but it was certainly an interesting experience.
That's great. So, how can our listeners connect with you if they want to learn some more about their careers, starting a new venture, or what have you?
You can look for information on our website, which is cntassociates.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at CNT Associates, and the CNTA are in capital letters. And you can call us. Our phone number is 0208 320 1360. 0208 320 1360. And look out for us at various business networks and events in your area.
I think, listeners, if ever you hear that Gary's coming to town to speak, interested in developing your business, you must go and listen because he really is the encyclopedia on what to do and where to find the funding, how to develop your business, and so on and so forth. So, there you go. Are there any more tips or suggestions for our listeners, Gary?
Yes, I've got three brief tips. The
Okay.
first one is don't be a quitter. If you want to get where you want to go, then keep at it, hang on to your dreams. Tip two is have a strategic vision, know where you're going, try and map it out, you may not get the full way there, but at least you will have. If you have no vision, then how can you expect anybody else to believe in your
Yeah,
dream?
exactly.
And the third is build the team. If you can inspire others with your dreams, then they will become reality, which was a quote from William Morris, who's quite an influence on me. Lived in Bexley. Of all places where we are now,
Yeah.
In fact, the so-called Red House where he lived is still there. But Morris had an incredible background in industry and commerce as well, and was probably Britain's first wallpaper designer. Apart from everything else, William Morris wallpaper still sells even now. So you know, that's a very good tip from William Morris, and keep at it.
Okay, so the tips are: don't be a quitter.
Yeah.
Have a vision.
Yes.
Have a clear vision,
yeah.
And thirdly, build a team.
Yes.
Okay. Very good words. Very good. You know, tips that I do not disagree with, but I like the way that you just crystallized it. Don't quit. Keep going, because by all means you'll fall over as a business. These things happen, and have a vision and create a team. Please join me again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Menseyebo, and I'm looking forward to having tea with you all real soon. And until next time, keep smiling, always, always walk good, and Mr. Gary Parker, thank you so much.